Welcome to Drive Time, the UCLA Anderson Fully Employed MBA podcast. My name is Dylan Stafford. I am the assistant dean here in charge of helping people look at this possibility for their lives, and it's an honor to have this role. And we just completed Super Saturday number 42. It's a Saturday afternoon in November as we record this, and I have a very spontaneous, didn't know I was going to do this today guest, who is graciously adjusted her afternoon plan. So with me today is Brittany Blackamore, who graduated, 3 months ago?
About four months ago.
June of 2016. We're here in November of 2016. And I wanted to interview Brittany before she graduated, but as you were about to see, this is a human being who doesn't stay on one continent for very long. And so this is just so wonderful. Brittany came back today to help us with the Super Saturday admission interviews. This was our 42nd Super Saturday. We just surpassed 6,000 lifetime interviews conducted by over 1,600 volunteers in the last 14 years. So it's kind of a watershed moment for us. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking today about Brittany's really life-changing MBA takeaway. This is a person, as you will soon learn, who really went the extra mile anytime the extra mile was offered on the choice group. And we're going to cover three really wonderful outcomes, how you rediscovered your passion for travel and deepened your amazing interest in languages, and then how you discovered, really from a very different starting point educationally, a real passion for global macroeconomics.
Right.
And of course, the wonderful question, how you got your dream job. So we got a lot to cover. And I'm really thrilled to get to do this, because your story is distinct, as you will see in the next minutes. But why don't we start with just today? So you're an alum, you're 5-6 months post-graduation. How was Super Saturday for you? How was your admission day, your interview day?
It was fantastic. First of all, thank you so much for having me, Dylan.
Oh,
it's
pleasure.
A pleasure to be here. I feel honored. It was a great experience to come here for Super Saturday. So it's my first time to participate. Always wanted to, but I was always, as you alluded to, traveling or had other obligations. So I see it as a kind of a rite of passage to come back here to my alma mater and get to help other students, kind of giving back. This program did a lot for me. It really changed my life, and I'd like to see that happen for others. So, pleasure to be here. So, I met some great candidates, so I think we have a good class coming up.
Well, let's see. Why don't we give people a little bit of a backstory? So, you grew up in Orange County?
I did. I grew up in Orange County. I went to Pepperdine for undergrad.
Yay, Pepperdine. Go Waves.
Yeah, go Waves. That's right. I studied, majored in French, studied international studies, and got myself a job working at Fluor. So it's a global engineering procurement and construction company, and I worked in their procurement contracts group for their oil and gas and power business line. So basically, I was in charge of procurement, buying hundreds of million dollars worth of equipment for power plants that we were building. That's where I started, and originally had planned to go to law school, but as I was working in procurement contracts, found that maybe I wasn't as passionate about law as I thought I was going to be, and decided that maybe I should make a change. It took me a couple years to kind of find that. So I stayed at Fluor and was kind of wondering how I was going to advance through the ranks without having a technical degree. And it occurred to me one day, I was walking down the hall and I just had this epiphany, I should go get my MBA. And that night, I went out and got a book to study for the GMAT. And
oh my God, just started that night.
Yeah, okay. Once I have direction, I don't waste a lot of time. There were a couple of years where I was looking for direction. And once I realized that this was going to get me where I wanted to go, there was no wasting time for me. I had a plan. But so the MBA program really helped me.
Did you have a mentor with an MBA, or it was a graduate degree option?
I kind of forgotten that it was an option. So I had always thought law school all the way through high school and in college.
And you were French as a major at
French
Pepperdine.
As a major.
Okay, so good. A liberal arts education,
going
good for law school.
It makes sense.
Right?
But when you end up working for an engineering firm and you don't have a technical degree and you no longer want to go to law school, you suddenly realize, oops, maybe I made a mistake. And I thought maybe I should have majored in business or math. Or I even thought about going back to school and getting another undergrad in chemical engineering. And I am not a chemical engineer. I can tell you that for sure. But I just saw that there was no way I was going to advance in that company without having that kind of degree. And so I wanted to change, but, you know, the economy had a downturn and I was just hung on to my job at Fluor, grateful to be employed, mm-hmm. but still realizing this is not my passion. I'm not passionate about this, and I'm a passionate person. I should be, I want to feel that way about my job. I want to love my job. Mm. And so one day, yeah, just walking down the hall, a light bulb went on, thought an MBA, that'll help me get there. I don't think I knew anyone with one. I just realized that's going to help me make that leap.
Mm-hmm. And you were doing great at Fluor. We were talking beforehand. I had forgotten this, but thank you for reminding me that we had an admission interview
back in the day. Yeah,
so,
I mean, last round.
You had had four promotions, so, mm-hmm. you know, you were, that, which is pretty impressive without the dominant degree of your industry, to you know, so you were actually doing well.
I was working in procurement. I was working my way up in procurement, but they didn't have like a leadership program. I didn't see how most of the leadership are engineers there, mm-hmm. and they really value that. And so not having that background, I felt like I was just not going to get ahead. And again, like I said, I just wasn't very passionate about it. And I felt like that was a shame. I feel your job is a big part of your life, so you should probably like it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I was wanting more.
Well, let's tell your story a little bit out of order. We'll come back to all the travel because you guys are gonna love this, our listening public.
It's my favorite part.
But your other favorite part is you described you got your dream job. So
I did.
What are you now? What's going on now?
Sure. So I accepted a position with Experian. So they're America's largest credit bureau, but they also do data analytics. Really impressive company. So they recruited on campus through OCR, and
OCR is our on-campus recruiting for those
right.
of you getting
yes.
admitted to the program. That's good jargon you'll learn.
That's right. I highly recommend going through OCR because you get to meet great companies. It's a great opportunity through this program that I think everyone should take advantage of. So I didn't know that Experian recruited here. I found out that they had an MBA leadership development program, so I applied and I got that job, and I absolutely love it. And there are a few things I love about it. One, so the culture is fantastic at the company. The data analytics is very interesting to me and makes more sense to me than, say, chemical engineering. So mm-hmm. the fit's a little bit better. But the MBA rotation is just an incredible opportunity. The visibility is great. I've been with the company just over 4 months. I've already met a few people in the C-suite. I have a senior vice president as a mentor. I have an outside coach that meets with me monthly to talk about my development, where I want to go in the company. And most people come into this development program wanting to get well-rounded. Most of us come from different industries. And so the point is to get well-rounded, understand the company, understand the industry, and ultimately find a good landing position. So I'll land in 18 months. So a year from December, I will finish and land into a director level role. And so the goal of the program is to help you find a fit. So most students kind of come in with the goal of just finding what they like, and they're not really sure. They don't have an agenda. Well, I came in because of Anderson. I came in knowing exactly what I want to do, and I'm able to articulate that to my mentor and to my coach and everyone in the senior VP level, the presidents of the business units that I've met. Mm. I tell them I am passionate about global strategy, global expansion, and I want an opportunity to work on a project to prove my ability. So I think that's one thing that UCLA gave me, this MBA, is it gave me hope. And that's what I feel like Experian is continuing to extend to me, that there's hope for me to climb the ranks and mm-hmm. to get that dream job. And all you have to do is work for it. It's possible. And so having that visibility and that exposure is such an incredible opportunity. So I'm really grateful for it. So the way it works, 18-month program, every 3 to 4 months, you kind of shift projects. And usually HR assigns you projects. And the way I explain it to most people, it's kind of like an internal consultant role.
Sure.
So my experience with GAP, our Global Access Program, the sort of culminary master's thesis project that we do, was very useful for me because that experience directly prepared me for my job. Because very much internal consulting, doing research, putting together recommendations, making that pitch, doing presentations. So all of those skills that I got to refine in GAP, I use on a daily basis at work, which is fantastic. So normally in this program, 18 months, you get a few rotations. They're kind of handed to you, but me kind of being a go-getter and feeling like I have that opportunity in this program that I've never had before. I feel like I appreciate it so much. So I have access to all these senior leaders in the organization. Mm. So I've just met with them to network, and then they'll introduce me to someone else. And so I kind of have been extending kind of my network tree at Experian. And through that, I've met some senior leaders that had a project they wanted someone to work on. And now I'm working with on the fourth floor where the CEO is, working on high visibility project that I found myself. Mm-hmm. And it's great opportunity. So it's really kind of what I think with a lot of things in life, what you get out of it is what you put into it with your MBA, and same thing with your career. And I feel like that I have that opportunity at Experian. So I'm absolutely thrilled. I love it. Every day I go to work, I'm happy to be there.
I love it too. And I mean, your life is such a fast paced life. Of course, I couldn't interview you all summer because you're never on this continent.
I'm sorry. My
apologies. This is such a last minute interview. I asked you for a resume, so you shoot me one. It doesn't even have your current job. So you apparently got a job with, you know, you haven't even had a chance to update it, which is good because, again, you're happy there.
I will update it, but I do plan to stay at Experian. I thought, okay, I'll get this job, work there for a year or two. But now that I'm there, I see the opportunity, and I see it's a global company. There's a lot of opportunity for expansion and exactly what I want to do. So I plan to stay.
And you have a goal of you'd like to have a non-English assignment. You don't want to go to London. You don't want to go to Sydney. You'd like to be assigned. So you're creating that.
I am. So when I meet with these leaders, I tell them I'm interested in global strategy, specifically want to work on global expansion plans. So kind of want to do a gap sort of project. I want to do research on where we should be expanding. Experience in about 40 countries right now. And
wow.
So
I didn't even realize that about Experian.
They do a lot more than just like credit. So like data analytics and a lot of B2B
That's just me
business.
Being ignorant, but I have such a sort of America centric assumption of what their core business would be.
And that's sort of that credit bureau. So we have a credit bureau that we've started in Australia and Brazil. But a lot of what we do is B2B, and we even have healthcare verticals, automotive verticals. So we do a number of things. Experian is a complex company. It's why I'm grateful for the development program, 18 months to kind of learn about it.
Yeah, and to be exposed to lots of people who are going to say, I want her on my team,
exactly.
On my project.
I'm already getting that, which is fantastic.
That's so good.
I'm very grateful for that. But when I look at a map of where Experian is located, I see an absence in the Middle East and Africa. Mm-hmm. And to me, I came in with an agenda of I want to learn about this, all about the company, all about the industry. I want to prove myself. But my goal is, while I'm in this rotation, is to work on a gap-like project, looking at where we should be expanding. And I think there are a couple countries in my mind that I've kind of shortlisted. A few of them I visited while on immersion trips through UCLA. Mm-hmm. And so what I learned through those programs made me realize, you know, this might be a good opportunity for Experian to expand here. Why aren't we here yet? And so I want to pitch that to the senior leadership and be the one to go drive that project. But ideally, yeah, in a country where they don't speak English, so I can learn a new language.
Well, okay, so we've talked about you getting your dream job. We've talked about you really pivoting into a whole new world, sort of out of material management at Fluor and away from your French language. But So this is totally out of sequence, but you've loved languages your whole life.
I have.
So let's talk about languages, and then kind of bring that into your amazing travel.
Because
Brittany she's a world champion around here, as I will tell you in a little bit. She has traveled more than anyone, we're pretty sure. Since 2008, when we introduced our 1 week global immersions, and then we quickly followed with our 1 week exchanges, you've done seven?
Seven.
Seven plus you traveled twice for Gap.
For Gap
internationally, so you guys
with a couple layovers built in strategically.
Yes, those strategic layovers. If you're on the other side of the planet,
might as well
while we're there. So, but even as a young person before high school, you were interested in languages.
Absolutely.
You were telling me. So
I was. So I grew up in a family that only speaks English.
Okay.
Very American, and don't even know a word of Spanish. And I just had this innate desire to learn languages. So I remember I was 9, I was in the school library, and I found this book on German. And I tried to teach myself a couple phrases in German, and I got hooked. So when I got into junior high, I had to make the decision between French and Spanish. So I started with French and then took Spanish into high school. And I remember having a ballet teacher who spoke Russian, and I got all inspired. I wanted to speak Russian to my instructor. So I went and bought a book at Barnes & Noble on Russian, and I taught myself to read Russian. And I was 15 years old, and to this day, I can read Russian, not necessarily understanding it.
You were locked in. This is okay. I'm sorry. I'm totally interrupting your flow. But I just, I'm sorry. I'm just cross referencing what I was doing when I was 15, and that's just awesome. You know, like, that's just wonderful.
Thank you.
You know, and I love that because I see it like that's so congruent with how you are approaching Experian, how you approached Anderson. And one of the things that I think is so beneficial to everybody on the call, I'm not trying to intimidate you with Brittany's example, but rather inspire you that you will. We learn from each other as much as we learn from the faculty, we like to say around here. So, all right, back to you. Sorry.
Well, just on that intimidation note, and then I'll get back to the languages. No one should be intimidated of me because I don't think anyone felt less qualified to get into this school. I didn't tell you this before, but I got in accepted last round because I wasn't going to apply. I did not think I had a chance to get into this school. So if you're feeling that way, go ahead and apply anyway, because maybe you'll get in and it'll change your life like it did mine. Mm. So no one should be intimidated. We all have different gifts. And mine is not chemical engineering.
That's not what I do.
No, it's not. It's just not my gift and it's not my passion. But languages are. Mm-hmm. So, like I tell most people, languages to me, they're very logical and very mathematical, and they're almost like candy, like a brain puzzle, a little math puzzle or logical puzzles that I used to do when I was a kid. I see languages that way. And I would get like grammar workbooks and teach myself how to read Russian and try to learn, pick up phrases in different languages. And so wherever I travel, I try to learn at least a couple phrases to at least be able to say hello, thank you, how are you, I'm doing well. And it's amazing how you can just say two words to someone in their own language and you just have an instant and deeper connection. And I, not only do I like languages for the mental challenge that they represent, but they connect you with people and you kind of see the world differently and you can understand their culture and their story a little bit better. And I always get a kick out of it when I speak to someone in Arabic or in an African language, and here I am, this, you know, little blonde girl growing up in Orange County, and to speak to them in their language, they're surprised, and I enjoy that. And then we make that connection over whatever language it is that we're speaking together. So yeah, languages are a big hobby of mine, big passion. Currently trying to get fluent in Arabic. So really enjoying that challenge. I can read and write it and speak it, and now I'm just trying to get to that fluency level.
So, yeah, it's right to left.
It is right to left.
You're learning a new alphabet.
A new alphabet, yeah. I'm pretty comfortable with the alphabet of Arabic by now. So comfortable writing, texting, reading it. It's just getting that fluency, so the vocab. And Arabic is a beautiful language, very challenging for a number of reasons, different alphabet, like you mentioned, right to left, different sounds, but also there are a lot of different dialects. So depending on where you travel, you could get an Arabic person's, an Egyptian speaking Arabic. It's a different dialect than someone in Palestine and Jordan versus Morocco or in Dubai. They're all different dialects, so kind of sublanguages. And so I try to learn the different dialects and speak the right language to the right person, and I enjoy that.
Well, I promised everyone your amazing travel story. So it is an amazing travel story. So you had studied abroad in undergrad. You went to Lyon, France.
That was my first time out of the country. I was the first in my family to get a passport, actually.
Oh, my God.
And I moved over to France sophomore year. So I was 18, turned 19 over there. And best way to learn a language, for sure. You can study all day long in a library on your own, or you can go to the country and really get to learn that language. So, I studied abroad in France sophomore year, enjoyed that experience, got to travel a little bit in Europe, came back, traveled a couple times to England, and then I started working at Fleur, and I didn't travel again for 6 years until I got into the FEMBA program, actually. Mm-hmm. And so I had forgotten how much I loved traveling and didn't have that opportunity, had student loans, brother got sick, had a job, just... You know, you find excuses kind of not to travel, and I hadn't done it. And then I got into UCLA's program, heard about the immersions, and I knew I had to do it.
So, okay, so where did you go first?
I went to Buenos Aires, Argentina with Andres Turek.
Oh, wow, okay.
Great experience. So got to go meet different BEMBAs, different MBAs. I got to meet executive MBAs. It was a great experience getting to go there. And what really appealed to me about the program is that it was an educational experience. So what I found through the international programs at Anderson is that you get a different experience than you get as a tourist. So as a tourist, I can go to a country and meet people, try to learn the language, try the local food, see the touristy spots. But that's kind of it. With the international programs, what I discovered is you learn about the country first. You learn about the macroeconomics, you learn about the history, the politics. You have classes, as you know, Dylan, leading up to before you go spend the week in the country. You have classes here on campus. The students do research papers. We tell each other and do presentations about the area of the country that we studied. And then we get to go there and experience it. And it really is a week that's just jam-packed full of...
It's a crazy how much life happens in that week.
A lot. We accomplish a lot during those programs.
It's not like a week of vacation.
No. In fact...
You can't even compare it to that.
In fact, I tell people usually you should try to have a couple days before or after the program to have that vacation, relax, or go see what you want to see, because you're going to have a busy week on that immersion. We visited companies, factories, met with business leaders, political leaders. There's always a social event where you have some sort of dinner or happy hour with Anderson alumni in the country, which is great. You expand your network by meeting other classmates. You meet alumni who work in that region. You get their business cards. You make connections. And then you also have the group cultural excursions. You have the dinners together. It's really a great bonding experience. In fact, when I walk around Anderson, I'll always run into someone that I met through the program that I probably wouldn't have met them otherwise if I hadn't gone to Israel with them or didn't go to Vietnam with that person. And you just, kind of like with the languages, you share a deeper bond because you had that experience.
Well, it was so symmetric as we were wrapping up the Super Saturday, you and I, and we were gonna, you were graciously rearranging your afternoon to come have this interview.
My pleasure.
We saw former Senior Associate Dean Carla Hain,
right,
who was in charge of FEMBA academically from 07 to 14, and, mm-hmm. and it was her leadership with Gonzalo Freitas as her right-hand support person who launched these courses. So I just, the history major in me leapt up like, oh my God, look at this. It's Alpha and Omega. Here we have Carla who launched it, and here is Brittany, the most participative member.
I love those programs.
Did you travel with her to a trip?
She was in Greece with us.
Okay.
She went to Greece.
Oh, she was on a Greece trip. Okay. I she travels still all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to travel with you. I get to be in at least one of the seven trips.
That's right.
We were together on the Hong Kong trip.
So that was
mm-hmm. March of 2015.
That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And together it was a cultural moment. We went to Sotheby's, the auction, the beautiful, everything's in a skyscraper in Hong Kong, but we rode up a long elevator to a beautiful suite of Sotheby's International, and we met a full-time grad. I think she was maybe 2014 or 13.
Right, she was a year or two ahead of me in the program, I think.
But she was there as a director and told us all about the new money and the interest in art, and specifically the interest in Chinese art.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at these very avant-garde, I'm no art appreciator other than I like what I like, but looking at these beautiful, beautiful panels and she's telling us, yeah, this one's going to be $8 million, this one's going to be $14 million, and
It's so interesting to see what Anderson grads end up going and doing. And she was so passionate when she was talking about what she was doing, living there in Hong Kong.
Yeah, she really
passionate
was.
About the art. That was great. I remember watching her thinking, I hope I find a job I feel passionate about like that. And I did. I did. I wasn't sure at the time if I would, but mm-hmm. I did, which is great.
It's just amazing. So, okay. Okay, so what the order was Argentina.
So I went to Argentina, and I
was
got
Hong
hooked.
Hong Kong next?
I went to Hong Kong next. So okay. After Argentina, I got hooked. I did take an extra little bit of vacation. A couple of other students and I went up to Rio. So
nice.
We went to Iguazu Falls, which is on the border of Argentina and Brazil. Beautiful waterfalls there. And then a couple of us went to Rio. And that was my first time to travel again. And it had been 6 years since I had traveled. I had to get a new passport and everything, and it just reawakened that passion. I forgot how much I love travel, how much I love languages. It was like it lay dormant inside of me for years, and as soon as I got there, I just came alive again. And so there was no putting out that fire once I rediscovered it. And so I applied to every program, every international program I could. And I got in. I got waitlisted a couple times, but they ended up
At some point, you're basically doing extra courses because you've already there's like you can only do so many, but you did above and beyond.
I did.
You really just were maximizing.
Exactly. That's the perfect word. I wanted to maximize my experience. FEMBA is a 3-year program, and some people may think that's a long time and might try to discourage you. But a wise woman told me, 3 years are going to pass anyway, so you might as well do what you want to do. And I wanted to make sure that I got the most out of this experience. I was so grateful to get into this program, to reinvent myself, and to try to find a dream job, and to rediscover a passion. It allowed me to reinvent myself, become something I didn't think I could be. I wanted to bolster that quant side. I didn't want to feel dumb. Like, I would work with all these brilliant engineers, and I was so frustrated. I felt like I had missed the boat. I should have done something technical. So coming here allowed me to reinvent myself, take more quant classes, discover I love global macroeconomics. I love traveling. So yeah, I went to Argentina, and then after that, I applied to every single available program and managed to get in all of them. So I did a total of 7. So it was Argentina, then Hong Kong. That was March of 2015 with you. Then that summer, I was really busy. I did an exchange program in South Africa. I did the exchange at the Cape Town University in South Africa, which was fantastic experience. That was an exchange. So I was there for about 2.5 weeks, and I was actually taking classes with the students in Cape Town University. I learned that Cape Town University is a top university in Africa. So students came from all over the world, all over Africa to that university. So I really got to expand my network in Africa there. I just kept going after that. So,
well, do you have? Let's see. Well, and I just want to say the list. So you were in Greece.
All right. So
you were in Vietnam.
I was. So I went from South Africa. That summer was busy. I went from South Africa to Korea. I did an exchange Seoul
Korea.
National University. So that was the other exchange. Then I did an immersion in Greece. And Carla was there. That was a great program. Then I did an immersion over winter 2015, Vietnam. Mm-hmm. That one was in Vietnam. I left the night of GAP. So we had our GAP final presentations.
Oh, my gosh.
And we had
The same day.
So we had GAP presentations in the morning. Then we had the closing ceremony, had the cocktail happy hour, went there, took the client, entertained them. As we all left together, I went to LAX and barely made my flight to Vietnam, landed in Vietnam so that was a Saturday night, landed in Vietnam on Monday morning. I had to go straight to class. And, when you really want to do something, Dylan, you just make it work.
Apparently.
And so Vietnam, and then the last one was the Israel immersion.
Okay.
Not counting GAP travel.
Okay.
So I also traveled for GAP.
And where did you go for GAP travel?
So for GAP, my company, my GAP company was based in Australia. They were design and build skate parks. And Australian market was saturated. And they did GAP a couple years ago. And we're looking at the U.S. market, which is also saturated.
Right.
So they had this crazy
idea.
That's
why that's familiar to me, because I've heard it from the prior iteration.
Right, okay, yeah. Right. So they discovered, Australia is kind of saturated. And they were doing well in Australia. And U.S. is saturated. So they wanted to look at the GCC, which is the kind of Middle Eastern region. And so we went to Dubai to look at and study the feasibility. We did recommend for them to enter the market, just given number of expats and building how, Dubai tries to be kind of cutting edge and have the biggest and best of everything.
Yes.
And so they wanted to be part of
that. If we can throw money at it, we want to do it.
Right. Yeah. And so being a design and construction company, there's tons of potential there.
Right.
And so they're actually doing really well in Dubai. They're over there now. I stay in touch with them. So I went to Melbourne and Dubai for that trip.
Why am I not surprised you stay in touch with them? Very good. Very great.
Well, awesome. I think when you make a good connection with someone, it's good to follow up and stay in touch.
Yeah. Those connections that you talk about, that's right. How you make them happen.
It is.
I'm just interrupting your flow again, because I want people on the podcast to, it's not just coming to you. You're going and getting it,
and
then you're nurturing it.
Absolutely.
And
I think if you really want something, you're going to go and get it. And so I think for a number of years, I just forgot what I was passionate about. Mm-hmm. And when I rediscovered it, now there's no stopping me, because I know what I want. And all you got to do is work hard, make those connections. So with the GAP company, I don't know. I worked with that company for 6 months. I felt really invested in that company. So I follow up with them because I care about how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And also I want to know, did our research make sense? And because that's a learning point for me.
What have those conversations been like? Do they appreciate hearing from?
They do, actually. Mm-hmm. So they're always telling me in my they know I like to travel. I traveled while I was doing GAP. So people, you know, some people are working during GAP and balancing, you know, life happens during FEMBA. For me, I was working on GAP while I was doing some of these international programs. And so it was definitely a balancing act. Mm-hmm. So they were aware that, you know, sometimes I had a 3 a.m. call in South Africa to, you know, when it was 6 p.m. at night here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just make it work. And sometimes I would have a lunch break in Korea. I remember I had a lunch break in between classes and I had to call in really quick and connect with them. So they always tell me next time I'm in Dubai or Melbourne to stop by. So yeah. I think it's good to build a relationship like that. It was a great experience.
And in the world of, so people on the podcast are starting to listen, well, wait a minute, how did she do her job? So you also, you also took a bold leap. I crossed the bridge.
Halfway through. So the FEMBA program has the first year and a quarter are the core classes. And I worked, I lived in South Orange County and worked at Fleur full time. I would start work at, you know, 6 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays. I would leave early. I was lucky to have a boss who would let me do that. I would leave at 3, drive up here, get here, have class from 6 to 10. Get home 11:30 at night, and it was totally worth it, Dylan, just to have this experience, to make these connections, totally worth it to me. And I would have continued working the whole time, but I realized that if I wanted to bolster my quant side and kind of fix that problem that was bothering me at Fleur, that I didn't have that technical degree and regretting what I had studied in undergrad, I realized if I really want to fix that, I can just double down and really focus. I could do two things, you know, kind of adequately well, or I could really focus and try to make the most of it. For me, I felt like I was a little bit behind other students. I remember when you interviewed me over the phone, you told me that my GMAT math score was the minimum that you would let into the program. So I had a lot of work to do. And I decided to
And
go
look,
ahead.
You did just fine, too. I also want to reassure people. I wasn't just saying that to her. I knew she had the capability.
It's absolutely doable. And I really just wanted to enhance that experience. So, I decided to leave my job and focus on school. Mm-hmm. And it was a leap of faith. And I had no doubt, though, because of the companies and the caliber of companies that come to UCLA with a UCLA brand, I had I had faith that I would find a job, but it did make me a little bit nervous, had to take kind of that leap of faith. So I decided to quit.
We call that FUMBA, fully unemployed.
That's right. I love saying that. I became a FUMBA for the second half of the program. And That was the right decision for me. I mean, yeah. Everyone's journey is different. For me, I felt like I wanted to strengthen some things. I wanted to kind of refocus, and I knew I didn't want to stay in my industry. So I decided to leave and focus on school, and that was the right decision for me. It's not the right decision for everyone. But I'm really glad I did that. It enabled me to participate in 7 international programs and travel for GAP. You know, some of the people couldn't travel for GAP because they were working. For me, it was, please let me go. Please, you know, send me.
Send me Australia and Dubai.
And Dubai.
Because you traveled twice for GAP.
I did.
That's not so common, I guess.
It's not. The company specifically requested that. So most, you know, GAP projects, maybe 2 students will travel to 1 country. And this particular one, they felt it was necessary to not only see their operation in Australia, but also to look at that market and meet with potential clients in Dubai. So
there you were, getting ready for the consultant's life already. You're being requested.
That was a great experience, absolutely.
And this is just a total non sequitur. It doesn't really fit, but you did the coolest thing in that summer on the Greece trip. You sent me this picture of, I collect pictures of body art where FEMBAs, you know, contort themselves in the words F-E-M-B-A. Yeah, body art's the wrong term, totally. But people stand in postures and spell out FEMBA or
right.
UCLA, and mm-hmm. it's always just, we have a whole, now we have them from all over the world.
Right.
But you guys spelled out Dylan.
We did.
And I was verklempt. I sat right here at this desk, and I was really touched. And I just want to publicly acknowledge you and thank you, because, you know, university administration, there's a lot of details, right? Sometimes I'm not the best detail person. I'm the big picture guy. And but then you get these moments that, like, give you energy for a month. And I keep it right here.
I see that. That's great. I wish I could take credit for the idea. The idea was not mine, but I jumped in and was like, oh, this is going to make his day. I knew you'd love these photos.
Did you send it? Who sent it to me? I thought you sent it to me.
Maybe I did, but the idea, I can't take credit for the idea. I want to give... I think it was Ray Obigo that had that idea.
Who was here today at Super Saturday.
He was here as well. Yeah, so I think it was his idea, if I remember correctly. And we all jumped in. We were all excited about it. So, we did those FEMBA programs all over the world. I think I got a picture in every country except for Africa, because
you were the exchange. Okay.
I tried to do it, but I couldn't figure out how to do that as one person.
Well, I think people are getting the idea. I mean, we've definitely talked about your dream job, your rediscovering of your passion for travel,
yes.
but
mm-hmm.
I don't think we can leave without the faculty would be mad at me if I didn't talk about the intellectual in addition
Absolutely.
To the experiential. So
mm-hmm.
you discovered, not rediscovered, but discovered a real passion for global macroeconomics.
I did. I didn't know, I mean, shame on me, but I didn't know what that word meant before I came here to Anderson. And I can only tell you that now because you let me in the program and I've graduated, but I didn't know what that meant. And so I took Sebastian Edwards' global macroeconomics class. And the reason I took it was because I had decided to specialize in global management. So I wanted to get my specialization in global management, and that is one of the required classes. You have
okay.
to take either international business economics or global macroeconomics. Well, with my background, not having that any kind of technical degree, I was terrified to take that class, to be perfectly frank.
Mm.
And I got in there, and I loved it. Sebastian Edwards just inspired me. And I discovered, I've loved this all along. I just didn't really know what it was, and it opened my mind to quite a lot. Learning about the Fed and how they think about interest rates and how this affects other countries. And I remember Sebastian told us about Zimbabwe and about their hyperinflation. And, I think they had like quadrillion to one U.S. dollar. They had a horrible economic situation there. And he showed us these bills of these, trillion dollar bills that couldn't buy bread, and how people were taking wheelbarrows of cash. And, I just made that connection. I've always loved languages. I've always loved other countries and cultures. And if I meet someone, the first question I ask him is, where are you from? I'm trying to figure out what language they speak, what I can mm-hmm. learn from them. And so he opened my eyes to an entirely different aspect, more than just the cultural, but also the economics, the finance behind these countries and how they work and how they interplay. So that was incredible. Then I went on to take international economics. Edward Lehmer in the Greece class, he had an economics bend. Stuart Gabriel's class when we went to Israel. All of these classes just built on what Sebastian Edwards exposed me to. And I ended up doing more reading on the side because I just felt like I didn't know, I couldn't get enough of it, and discovered I absolutely love this. So, and I would have never taken that class had I not wanted to do that specialization in global management. So that kind of forced me to take it and discover, wow, I actually love this. This is something I really want to do. In fact, I even started thinking about getting a PhD in economics. Just, I love learning and I wanted to learn more. Right now, I think I'm going to stick with the MBA because I'm really happy at Experian. And I think to get where I want to go, that's probably the degree I need. But in the back of my mind, that's definitely an interest of mine. But it's definitely a fun reading for me.
Well, and just to again highlight, you're so proactive in the living of your life. And for those of you on the podcast who possibly are also liberal artists and transitioning mm-hmm. in, I was a history major who went to University of Chicago, and I felt like I felt like the admission mistake half the time.
Yes.
Like, why am I here? And I chickened out. I didn't take Eugene mm-hmm. Fama, who's mm-hmm. the finance guru. I think he's won the Nobel Prize since then. And here I hear you say, oh my God, I was terrified of Sebastian Edwards, who probably going to win the Nobel someday. I mean, he's a highly respected human being. And look what it opened up for you. So for those of you who are listening to this podcast, the one of the many takeaways that I really, because I've waited 6 months to interview Brittany, and I didn't even know I was going to get to do it today, because really, 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 you said it earlier, an MBA is what you make of it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we can be reasonable with ourselves and do one or two, or we can be unreasonable. We can step away from a job that's not the future we're living into anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We can give ourselves permission to go seek new lands. I mean, figuratively and literally.
Right, right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, I just, you know, that the opportunity of opportunity is really alive and well here. And mm-hmm. people have different, you know, you're not with a family right now, you know, you're in a chapter of your life, you know, but you've set up your life this way
mm-hmm.
and you're steering your ship and look.
I am.
Now
before,
you are.
Before I came in, I really didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I came in here and it was that Argentina immersion program
mm-hmm.
that it was like, oh, I have to do this. I have to. I love languages. I have to travel for work. How can I get qualified that someone would send me somewhere?
Yeah.
So then I take Sebastian Edwards' class, and he just inspires my socks off. I'm like, this is it. I want to learn everything about this. So that class ends in the spring of 2015, a couple weeks before I go to South Africa. So I'm in South Africa and in Cape Town at Cape Town University, meeting with people there. And in Cape Town, there are a lot of immigrants from other countries in Africa, and I met a lot of people from Zimbabwe, or Zim, as they call it. That's what the locals call it. And so, you know, my Uber drivers would talk to me. I'd learn a couple words in their, you know, one of the local languages that they speak in Zimbabwe, which is called Shona, and just fell in love with the people. So earlier this year, in February, I took a quick trip to Zimbabwe to go see Victoria Falls, and I actually got cash. I bought some of their old bills, so they're now on the U.S. dollar. But I bought some of those hyperinflation $1 billion and $1 trillion notes, and I brought them back. And at the time, I was taking another class with Sebastian Edwards.
A $1 trillion note. That's so crazy.
And I brought them to class, and Sebastian Edwards had told me about Zimbabwe and the hyperinflation. So I had assumed he had been there, but he had never been to Zimbabwe. So he sees these dollars and he takes them. And he's like, oh, can I show the class? So he puts them on the projector, shows the class, and everyone's coming up during the class break taking pictures of these billion and trillion dollar notes.
Oh my
so
God.
After the class, Sebastian and I split them up. And so I gave Sebastian over $25 billion, which he probably has in his office somewhere. So, yeah, that education just allowed me to kind of come full circle.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, we're coming up. I've stolen enough of your afternoon. We're coming up to the end here. I'm looking at my notes. I think we've covered everything, except for what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Oh, for Thanksgiving. So I want to travel, and I actually wanted to go to the Columbia Immersion Program as mm-hmm. an alumni.
Because you can do that.
You can do that. And I think you get so much more out of these programs than just traveling as a tourist. But because I'm new at my job, I didn't feel like I should maybe take that time off yet.
You're not a FUMBA anymore.
I'm now a fully employed graduate. I'm fully employed and fully dedicated.
Yeah.
I love my job. And I think it's important to say that every day to speak it kind of into existence. So
yeah.
I tell myself every day how much I love my job and I'm grateful for it.
Mm.
And I don't know if what came first, the chicken or the egg, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I don't want to take time off from work right now. I am a new employee. So I decided a good time for me to travel would be Thanksgiving. Fortunately, my family's from Orange County, so I get to see them all the time. They're very supportive. So I decided to go to Kenya. And I am going there. I'm going to take a backpack.
Mm.
Just backpack it for myself and a suitcase full of toys and clothes and gifts for the children that I meet. Because what I found is when I travel in Africa, you know, children will come up to me and I didn't have anything to give them. And it just kind of ripped me up. I felt bad about it. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to just take some toys and go hand them out to kids. So I'm very much looking forward to it. And on Sunday, I posted on Facebook just to tell my friends. And I have been overwhelmed by how many people have reached out to me. People I don't even know, Dylan, have reached out to me saying, when can I meet up with you? I bought toys at Toys R Us for these kids.
You're not going to be able to carry it all.
I don't know how I'm going to carry it, Dylan. I'm going to have to get really creative with how I get it all in the suitcase. But I cannot wait to go share with those little children and take pictures so I can share their faces with everyone who's given. And, you know, I told you when I was coming into the FEMBA program, I knew I was a career explorer, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure, do I want to be a CEO of a company, or do I want to start a nonprofit? For me, academically and professionally, I want to go to the top of my company. I'm mm-hmm. happy at Experian. That's my plan. But I want to give back. And so this is how I want to do that. I want to spend my vacations just giving back to others. And I really think I'm going to be the one most blessed. So really looking forward to that.
Well, I really appreciate this interview. Because I think it is so exemplary of the more you put in, the more you take away.
Absolutely.
Give yourself the white space to let your passion evolve, mm-hmm. you know, listen for it. And then when you hear it, like you said, then you get emotion and you don't mess around. You bought the GMAT book the same day that you had your epiphany. I just think there's a lot of beautiful connectivity in the living of your life. I love the thing you said. Your dad helped build Experian's headquarters.
Isn't that incredible?
Like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, 15, 20 years ago. I got to visit it. Had no idea I'd end up working there.
And here we are. You've circled all the way back. You know, you had a passion for travel. You stepped away from it. You circled all the way back. You've really found, you know, what I hear is that you've found a North Star, and mm-hmm. you're sailing your ship accordingly.
Absolutely. And I feel like UCLA gave me the confidence that I need. At Experian, I'm meeting with senior leaders and senior finance leaders, and I feel comfortable talking to them about finance. And I am fully cognizant that I'm using words I didn't know what they meant 3 years ago, and now I'm using them and doing spreadsheets and making pitches. And I got that confidence through Anderson. I could not be happier about my experience here and the international programs, all the faculty, and you, Dylan. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.
This is the most rewarding kind of work, watching people grow and really watching people, you know, develop dreams and then make them come true. So
absolutely.
Well, this has been Brittany Blackamore, FEMBA 2016, now Experian MBA LDP manager and route to director. Look
That's
her up
right.
on Facebook. Thank you so much for
thank you.
Being here with Super Saturday 42 and then an extra hour of your life. And this is just a treat. I hope you've enjoyed it half as much as I have. I waited 6 months for this interview.
Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate it.
Bye for now. We'll see you next week.